All right, would you open your Bibles this morning to Ephesians, the 5th chapter, the 20th verse, Ephesians 5:20, if you would. We are excited about our Easter service, April the 1st. It's going to be about the resurrection factor and how the resurrection makes all the difference. It's why we believe in Jesus and not Buddha, not Muhammad, not Confucius, not atheism. It's all because of the historical resurrection of Jesus Christ. So invite your friends, pray for your friends, bring people with you, go and pick them up and bring them with you to the service that day. And dress casual when you come if you want to, and stay for hot dogs and lunch and bouncy houses and all kind of activities around here immediately after church that Sunday. Well, this morning we're talking about drawing near to God by being thankful in prayer. We're doing the elements of prayer and how that draws us near to God. Ephesians 5:20 says this, "Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father." A couple thoughts about that. Look at the word always, just continuously giving thanks to God. That's the way that God wants us to have our mindset. That's the attitude he wants us to have, is always giving thanks. And now, I don't know about you, but I'm more prone to give a gripe than to give thanks. And so what I'm going to try to do is every time I want to give a gripe to someone about something, I'm going to also try to give thanks about something. And if you really want to excel in this, every time you're tempted to fuss about something, give thanks for two things. And by the time you've given thanks a number of times in the day, you're going to say, you know, it's not worth it for me to have to gripe again, because I'm getting tired of having to give thanks all the time. And then you give a couple more for that. Always, for every gripe, give a thanksgiving. And then notice it says here, doesn't just say be thankful, it says give thanks. Be active, be verbal, be expressive. Express the thanks that you can find in you. Don't let it just be a passing feeling for the moment. Make a note to do something about it. Tell God you're thankful. Tell someone else something you're thankful for. People love being around thankful people. And you may even make new friends by that wonderful personality of yours that gives thanks. And then notice he says all things. Not just some things, not just the good things, but for all things. And that seems strange, but the Apostle Paul can write this from a jailhouse. And he's rejoicing in all things and rejoicing at all times and giving thanks at all times. So we're to give thanks for both the good and the bad. You say, Pastor, how can that be? Well, obviously we can give thanks for the things that we recognize that are good. We're appreciative of those things. That comes naturally. But to give thanks for the things that are bad, we're giving thanks for the good that God is going to do in that difficult situation. We're going to pray. We're going to ask God to work in that situation, and we're going to pray with faith, believing that God is going to work good in that difficult circumstance. Amen? That's what without faith, it's impossible to please God. You must come to God believing that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who are diligently seeking him. So pray with faith that God would work good, and then think that God is working good. Speak that God is going to work good in that situation. Believe that God is going to work good in that situation, and act as if he is working good in that situation, even if you can't see it. Amen? Well, that was a sermon a few weeks ago. I gave it to you again. It was free of charge. Most people don't complain that they don't get enough. They complain they get too much when they come here on Sunday mornings. But anyway, give thanks for the good and the bad. Thankful. You know what? I was reading Psalm 107. One of our church members and encouraged me to read that this morning, knowing what we were going to be preaching on. And the psalmist was thanking God in the midst of hard things, difficult things that had come into his life. He was thanking God for what God had done in those circumstances, what God had done through those circumstances, how God had used those circumstances to get him where he needed to be, to get him to a better place. And so if you can't think of anything to be thankful for, think of in the present, thank God for what he's done for you in the past. If you've become a Christian, you have something in the past that you can be thankful for, amen? If you've ever seen God work, note it and thank God for what he's done for you in the past. Then thank God for what he is doing for you in the present, even if you don't feel it or see it. And most of us can feel or see something that God is doing in the present. And then thank God for what he's going to do in the future. God loves it when his children come to him with expectant, trustful hearts. Like we go to our fathers and we throw our arms around and we say, I need help. I love you. Help me to do this. And it just makes our father's heart want to pour itself out to do everything it can do to help our children that put their trust in us, that put their faith and hope in us. God's heart is very similar to that. And let me just add this one last note here before we get into our outline that you had, were given when you came in. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, it reminds us in everything to be giving thanks, just like the verse we just looked at. But then it says this, in case you're tempted to not want to do it, in case you're tempted to think, oh, that's just for those people that are optimists, it says, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is the will of God attitude for his children to have day by day, moment by moment. Well, there, you know, I've noticed there are a couple types of people that seem to have a harder time just naturally giving thanks. And I call those the fixers and the perfectionists. Now, a lot of men find themselves in the role of a fixer. We look for problems so that we can fix them. But if we are not careful, we may just totally focus on problems and become myopic. And all we see is the bad that needs work and that needs help. And so we have to balance our fixer personalities with thankfulness, forcing ourselves to find things for which we can be thankful. Then we get the whole picture. We get the real picture that God is working, even though there are things that are bad or hard or difficult in our midst that we're still working on. But God is still working too. That's the whole picture. And then by doing that, it helps us not to become discouraged, not to feel overloaded by all the things that need to be fixed, all the things that are wrong out there. And we become, because we can get overloaded and we can become miserable. Anybody miserable today? Anybody lying today? Yeah. Well, you know, everybody gets overwhelmed at times and feels miserable, but we can become feeling miserable, and then inevitably what happens after we feel miserable is we start passing that misery on to all the company around us. And then everybody's miserable, and then everybody's unhappy, and then we have something else to be unhappy about because they're unhappy, and they're unhappy, and they're unhappy. They've simply picked up on our attitude and our mindset, our perspective on things that was skewed because it was not adding into the equation the goodness of God and the work of God and the presence of God in our lives. Well, fixers have a hard time. Perfectionists also have a hard time. A perfectionist thinks everything has to be just perfect before they can be happy, before they can be content, before they can be fulfilled. Perfectionists can find a flaw in the best of things, but it's an imperfect world in which we live. And so perfectionists are seldom satisfied and seldom feel fulfilled, seldom have that sense of well-being that comes naturally to them. For the perfectionist, the cup isn't just half full. It also has stains on it. It wasn't washed properly. It needs better maintenance and supply scheduling, and someone needs to pay for it. The question is this morning, do you want to stay unhappy? If not, express thanks to God. And here's some things that I think will help. I've heard people say, Pastor, I cannot pray more than 5 minutes long. Well, if you pray through these six items, you'll pray more than 5 minutes long. You'll achieve a new spiritual milestone in your development. You'll be Mr. or Mrs. Prayer here if you pray through all these things. Simply giving thanks for more than 5 minutes. So here's some things that can help you. First, pray for give God thanks in your prayers for the physical blessings that he's given you. God gives us physically what we need to do his will in this world. Amen? We may not have all perfect bodies. We may have some handicaps. We may have some disabilities. We may have some areas we don't function as good as somebody else functions. But we have physically what we need to do what God put us on earth for. And our bodies and our health matter to God for that reason, if nothing else. Romans 12:1 tells us that our bodies were meant to be used as living and holy sacrifice or offerings to God. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 remind us that our bodies have been given to us to be used for God's glory. And so we should give him thanks for what he's provided for us to use for him. Do you have health today? Hopefully you do. I hope you're not infecting everyone around you. Anybody here getting infected? Feeling? Do you have hands today? Do you have a left hand? Do you have a right hand? Can you use one of your two hands? That's good. Do you anybody here have feet today? Feet today? You know, we laugh about this, but usually we don't appreciate what we have until it's gone. Lose a foot, and then you'll be thinking all the time, oh my goodness, I wish I had one. Oh, my life would be so great if I just had a foot. Oh my goodness, I could, you know, if there was anything I could do, oh Lord, I had it so good and I never realized it. Go ahead and thank God for it now, like you're that happy about it. It's a provision given to you from God. How many of you have a left eye and a right eye? How many of you have ears? How many of you have a sound mind? Not a single hand went up in this building. Yes, ma'am, I see you. And she's been married 59 years. That's what a long marriage does for you right there. Amen. All right, sound mind. So if you have these things, if you're having trouble being thankful, if you're having trouble finding something to express thanksgiving to God for in your prayers, go through each part of your physical body and give thanks to God for it. Thank you, God, for this beautiful white hair I have, both of them. Thank you, God, for both eyes, and thank you, God, for the glasses that you give to help my eyes look better or see better. Thank you, God. And just go through it. By the time you get through all the organs and all the systems of your body, you'll have spent more than 5 minutes. You'll be a spiritual giant compared to your friends. And then, if you want to just excel to the top, start giving thanks for all the things you don't have. Thank you, God, that I don't have the flu today. Thank you, God, that I don't have this disease today. Thank you, God, that I don't have a broken arm today. And just go through all those things that you could have, but thank God you don't have right now. Amen? All right. That'll keep you occupied for a while. Then move into your material blessings. Matthew 6, 31 through 33 reminds us that God knows the physical things that we need to live and to do his will. And he provides them to us when we put him first in our lives. So we can ask ourselves, do I have any clothing today at home in my closet? Do I have any food at home in my cabinet? Do I have any money in my wallet right now that I was supposed to put in the offering plate? Do I have a home? Do I have a roof over my head? Do I have a vehicle to travel in or friends with vehicles to travel in that help me get around? If you're having trouble being thankful for these simple things, you know, if you can be happy with the simple things, you can be happy all the time. If you're having trouble being thankful for these things, make yourself sit down in the quiet, just time with God, and go through your closet and thank God for every shirt and every pair of pants and every dress. And ladies, thank God for every pair of shoes. You'll be there for about a week and a half. And after you get finished with that, start thanking God for the food that he's given you. Maybe your cupboard is bare today, but you had food yesterday. Thank God for the green beans on your lunch plate. Thank God for the mashed potatoes. Thank God for the gravy. Thank God for the butter. Thank God for the bread. Thank God for the ham. Whatever you have, thank God for everything. Before you know it, you'll start looking for things that you're going to give thanks to God for in the near future. And you'll start focusing on the things you look for. And when you think about them, if you'll express it verbally to God or to other people, it will help to reinforce that sense of well-being that you've been longing for. Number three, you have church blessings. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it reminded us that in the early church in Jerusalem, when they came together, they had teaching and they had fellowship together, they had communion together, they had prayer together. And if you look down in verse 47, it reminded us that they were praising God continually when they were coming together, and God was at work around them doing incredible things. And I want you to know here today, if you haven't realized it already, you have many opportunities to serve because you have a church here. We had some disaster relief training. About 26 people were trained or retrained again in disaster relief just a few weeks ago. We had a work as worship conference just a few weeks ago where we learned how that we can serve other people and we can serve God even when we're just going to the job, doing the 9-to-5 thing. We have people that have ministries here, people standing at the doors handing out bulletins, people up here to take up the offerings. They don't let the pastor take up the offering. I don't know why, but they'd rather trust a young man to take up the offering than this old pastor, but that's fine. Everybody has a place to serve. Everybody has something to do. If you don't have a place to serve, that's not normal. You need a place to serve, to be serving God the way that he wants you to. We'll find a place for you to serve. We have opportunities to learn here. Many of you just left the Sunday Bible study. We have that for every age group of person in Brownsville. Whether you speak Spanish, whether you speak English, whether you're young, whether you're old, we have a teacher and we have Bible study and a time for fellowship, a time to get to know each other, a time to, you know, you can't talk to each other a whole lot during worship service. Well, you do, but you're not supposed to be talking to each other all the time during worship service. That's the time to ask questions and to get to know each other, to find someone you can be accountable to, where you have common interests. Find somebody else that loves the Lord and find a new friend there. That will be helpful. It'll be beneficial to you. So some of you just left the Sunday Bible study. Well, obviously we have church times. Sunday night discipleship groups. There's 5 or 6 different options. They're not meeting tonight, but normally they do. Wednesday night we have Bible study for the adults from 7 to 8:30. We have men's. We have women's Bible studies. We have First Baptist School having chapel services and integrating the Bible into all of their learning activities over there. We also have opportunities to worship together like today, like tonight, or at Ecclesia when they normally would have it in the evening, on Sunday evening. Opportunities to be on mission together. We've gone to many, many countries throughout the world. We go to Mexico every day. We have people in our church that are missionaries that will take you into Mexico any day you want to go, and that need help going into Mexico, need someone to ride with them and help them to do the work that God has for them there. You have outreach the 24th. Come up here and help us pass out these flyers, all these kind of opportunities. Opportunities for Christian friendships. Anyone here have a friend? Well, some of the people from Iowa have friends. It's okay to have friends. It's normal, isn't it, to have friends? You have to be friendly to have friends, usually. But hey, church is wonderful. They'll love you even if you're unlovely. You can have a friend today. All right, so tell Jeremy, who was just up here, tell him that you need a friend and he'll be your friend. You can call him night or day, 24/7, anytime, and you guys will have a great time together. Anyway, church blessings all around you. People blessings, number four on your outline. Paul said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you folks. List the names of people on those lines below who have blessed your life. You can think of people who have blessed your life. I have my mom back here, my parents, my grandmother. I have my daughter's in and her husband from Grand Prairie, Texas. We've got Stephen and his wife. We've got Adrian. And I got six grandchildren in town this week. Six grandchildren in town for spring break. We have so much to be thankful for. So many people that have brought joy to our hearts and our minds and our lives all the time, and that will all the time. I can think back of people that I've worked for that have encouraged me, for professors that have encouraged me. I can think of people that have been good Christian examples in serving God and in ministry and in attitude and thankfulness, and surely you can too. But if you write those names down in there, that helps to solidify, yes, I've got this, I can hang my hat on and know this was an individual that I can give thanks for. Whatever else happens, I can give thanks for this person's influence in my life. And then sometimes you get so down and out, maybe you think, well, I just don't have anybody, and I can't think of anything. Nothing's ever been good. I'm just miserable. Everything's always been bad. Everybody's always been against me. Woe is me. Eeyore, let me just tell you, no matter how bad your life has been, and I don't say that to mock. I really don't, because life can be like Hades on earth. I realize that. And we all go through periods of time like that, through tragedy and unfulfilled dreams and expectations and things. We all do. But no matter what has happened to you, is happening to you, or will happen to you, there is a God who is real, who loves you, and who is good. And he wants to love you, and he wants to be good to you. You may not realize it. You may not have known it. You may not have ever heard that before, but it's truth, and it cannot be taken away from you. Trust and see, the psalmist said. Taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. You have a God who is with you in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death. You have a God who prepares a feast before you in the midst of your enemies. You have a God who leads you to still waters and green pastures, and who wants to shepherd your soul and who wants to restore your soul. That's the kind of God that is real and that is true and that exists. You have that. And if you have a hard time thinking about God, take your Draw Near to God notebook. Again, just a tool, a training tool. If you've kept the handouts, you can go back to the Drawing Near to God in Adoration one, for example. And just go, there's got to be hundreds of terms describing God's nature, describing God's character, describing the names of God, which often include descriptions of how God has worked, or the nature and character of God, and just go back through there. God, you are a majestic ruler. I thank you for ruling over my circumstances and over my life. You are high and exalted, even though we are low down here, and we know because you're a caregiver that you care for us. We know because you're a lover of our soul that you love my soul. And take all of these names and characteristics of God and make them personal to you. If you go through the entire list and make it personal to you, you again will be a spiritual giant. Thank you, God, for those. Then you can take the love letter from God that we had a few weeks back, where God was telling us in different verses, I love you enough to choose to adopt you as my child. I love you enough that my only son was willing to give his life to demonstrate how much I love you. And make those personal. God, I thank you that for whatever reason, because you're so loving, you were willing to demonstrate how much you loved us in such a vivid way. And you love us so personally. and that you have adopted us, adopted me into your family, God. I don't deserve to be called your child, but I thank you for it. And so all of these you can make personal. And if you don't have these, if your wife or husband accidentally threw those out thinking they were trash, not knowing they were gold, we have extras on the welcome tables out here. Feel free to pick up a whole packet of sermon notes. We don't have a lot of call for those, but if you'll get them, then we can say we had a lot of call for them. And get a notebook too. And then lastly, think of the promises that God has given to us that we can make personal in our lives. We've talked about Hebrews 11:6. You just have to believe. You have to have faith that God will do what he says he will do. He's really there, and he'll really reward you when you put your faith and your trust in him. What are some of the promises? He promised he would always be with us, that he would never leave or forsake us, did he not? Jesus told his disciples, "Lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world." He promised us that he would be a God who is for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. He promises us that he will keep us, that he has put his seal of ownership on us, the seal of the Holy Spirit, that he is able to keep all things that we've committed to him until that day. He promises us purpose. He says we are actually his workmanship. You may not have realized that when you were being created in your mother's womb, but God was creating you in exactly the way he wanted you to be, with the gifts and the talents and the features that he wanted you to have to fulfill the purpose that he had for you. You're his workmanship. You're called then to be his ambassadors as Christians. You're called to be his hands and feet here on earth, his body, the body of Christ here on earth, to show, to reveal God to the people around us. We have the promise that he'll work all things together for good to those who love him and have been called to salvation according to his purpose. And that's us, believers, followers of Jesus. He's working good. Believe that God is always working. They say the devil never takes a vacation. God doesn't need one. He's working harder and longer than the enemy. We have the promises of God that we'll see our Christian family again. The Bible says we'll sit with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Christians from all the four corners of the earth will be gathered together in heaven, and we will sit with them. We'll recognize each other, just like Abraham and the beggar and Lazarus, all those, like they recognized each other in that place. We have the promise of God for heaven. Jesus told his disciples, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house in heaven are many mansions or many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you," Jesus said. "But if I go, I will come again, that where I am, there you may be also." Of course, Thomas says, "Lord, we don't know where that is. How in the world are we going to be able to get there?" And Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." It's not a road map that you need. It's faith in Jesus, because he is the way to get there. Just trust in him. He'll get you there. Promises. Focus on them. Believe in them. Trust them. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In other words, I can do everything that God wants me to do. My God is able to supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I do not have to be undersupplied, because God will give me what I need to do what he wants me to do. Trust in those promises. Okay, here's the invitation for today. In the next week, take your notes. Take the notes from the previous weeks. If you need more, they're on the back tables at the Welcome Centers. And go through those and go through each of these six areas 5 days of next week, Monday through Friday. And if one day you're swamped and you don't have time, then make it up on Saturday. That's your assignment for next week. Aren't you glad that's not something hard like repent of your favorite sin? This is easy. Okay, thanks God. Thanks for that. Thanks for that. Thanks for this. Thanks for that. That's not cathartic. It just takes a few moments. And then your personality will be better afterwards. People may see a difference on your face. They may say you look better. How many of you want to look better? Well, you should. All right. So that's the assignment for next week. And I do want to say this before we leave here this morning. If you're visiting with us, or maybe you've been here for a while, but you've never really put your personal faith and trust in Jesus Christ and the death that he died for you on Calvary to take the punishment for your sins so that you could be forgiven. If you've never really done that, if you've heard about it, but you've never personally been willing to give up and give over to God that right to rule in your life, today's the day. Now's the time. There's nothing better that you could do. If you're without Christ in this world, spiritually, the Bible says there's a lot of confusion going on up there. Spiritually, the Bible says it's like being blind and not being able to see reality and truth. God wants that to end for you today because he loves you. Put your faith and trust in Jesus today.